episode this week, I just want to let all of you know that I'm looking to hear your stories. I want to hear them so bad, and I want you to tell me about them on the podcast. If you go to our website at braveonespodcast.com, you can send us a message, tell us a little bit about your story, and or anybody you know. If anybody you know has a great story, anybody you know who's brave, we'd love to hear it. So send us a message at braveonespodcast.com. My guest today, I am just going to introduce as my friend Corey.
Hello.
Corey's here to tell us some really cool brave stories. His first one, he mentioned a little bit to me, I definitely relate to a little bit. So Corey, we'll just go ahead and jump right into it. Can you tell me about a time when you were really scared to do something, something a little bit big in your life, and you still did it?
Sure. So a little bit of background about me. I'm from a super small town in Southern California. It's a resort town called Big Bear. And my high school was pretty small. We had about 700 people and just kind of like very rural. And, you know, it was kind of one of those towns that everyone, like, you know, you see them in movies and like people talk about, like, you know, how you feel trapped in them. So a lot of people that I went to high school with, you know, never, a lot of them didn't graduate. And then an even bigger portion never even considered going to college. Like, I would say at least 30% of my high school didn't even attempt to go to college right out of school. And on top of that, my family also was super not necessarily academically focused. Both my parents didn't do college. Grandparents didn't do college. I have four older siblings. They all kind of just went straight into the workforce after high school. So I always knew that I needed to leave our little tiny town. Mm-hmm. And I was also, I had big dreams. And so I knew that college was the way to get there. And like, it was something I always aspired to. And it all sounded really fun and nice and like something I'm just gonna head off to college.
It sounds like it's like that's the ticket, right? That's yeah. The ticket to success, just go to college.
And then I got to junior year and they were like SAT, SAT, and I was like, oh my god, what? Who is this? Who's the SAT? And so I kind of realized then that like, oh, like I'm probably not gonna get into Yale, and like, you know, you have to be realistic about like where you're going and what you're doing, and also like,
yeah,
you know, you have to actually figure out like what you want to apply to and like what has good programs for what you want to do. And it's just like this whole confusing world that you don't know anything about because your parents didn't go and, you know, your siblings didn't go, and there's no one at your school that's really a great resource for what you want to do.
So it was like really uncharted territory for you.
Definitely. I think I was maybe the second or third person from my high school ever to go to Chapman.
Wow.
And I was like, you know, it was really uncommon. I would say probably, I don't, like less than half of our school even went to four-year universities out of high school.
Wow.
So it was just like, the resources just weren't there. And so I think like approaching senior year, I was like really excited. And then once I started to get into like applying and doing things and realizing that like, oh my God, I'm going to be moving away. And like, I might be really far. I might be across the country or, like, yeah, you know, in a different state.
Because you were definitely looking at places, like, in New York, like, on the East yeah. Coast. Yeah.
Yeah. And so then I was just like, oh, my God, like, no one has done this before. What do I do? Like, how do I, how does one exist outside of this little tiny 9-square-mile town that we live in?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think kind of just, like, applying was, like, a big hurdle. But, like, I think after that, like, choosing a school, I kind of put it off for the longest time because it felt like, okay, I'm going to go somewhere, but it doesn't have to be real until I actually pick where I'm going, and I don't have to like face like all the realities that go with that.
Right.
So I was like that person that like put deposits down on two different schools and like was like running around like, oh my God, I'm going, but I don't know where. And then I think that like the scariest that it got was for sure like the end of the summer, obviously, like move-in day. And I was like, wow, okay, so here
this
I am.
This is the step. Yeah. This is actually leaving.
Yeah, here I am. My parents dropped me off in this dorm. I've lived in the same room in the same house for my whole life with, you know, the same parents. And, like, no one's here to help me. But here we are 3 years later. I made it through somehow.
And no one really told you how to do it.
Yeah, but I mean, they, you kind of just figure it out. I think you have to do things for yourself, and like, you can't really expect anyone else to draw your path for you. You have to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, people always talk about like, oh, first generation college student, whatever, which like I am too. So I, you know,
right.
have been in similar like situations also, like no one really told me what to do. But I don't know, like nobody actually talks about like what that's actually like to be the first person in your family to say, hey, I think I'm gonna do this.
Right. Yeah, I think that it's like, I mean, it's like this term and they're like, oh, like 20 to 30% of, you know, people at this school are first generation, but like, you don't know what that means. And like, they don't really know what that means. And for a lot of people, like first generation, like their parents could have went to school for 3.5 years and then just dropped out at the end, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so it and I think that like, I mean, not to like be a victim or anything, but I think that my situation was really unique in that like aunts, uncles, cousins, brothers, sisters, like grandparents, no one had been to college in my life. And so it was like,
yeah,
everyone was like, wow, like, what is it like? Like, do you go to class 5 days a week from 8 to 5 every day? Like,
absolutely not.
Yeah, exactly. And then like, you know, like, oh my God, you missed a class. Aren't you going to fail? Don't they take attendance? And I'm like, no, you know?
So, I mean, what was that like when you first told them that you decided you were gonna go, you were gonna go to school?
Okay, well, my mom always says that she like something clicked when I was 6 years old, like she knew that I was gonna have to go to college, like
yeah.
they just knew. And like my other siblings just never had like the drive. Like I have one brother who's like incredibly smart, like took the SATs for fun and scored in like the 97th percentile.
Oh my gosh.
But didn't go to college, and like they just didn't have it in them. And like my mom always knew that like that's where I was headed, and so they were super supportive. I mean, they went to like, they looked at every online resource. They went to every college night. We drove to college fairs 4 hours away. Like everything they could do, they did.
Wow.
And so like, it was never really a question for me of like, am I going to go? It was just like, you know, like where, how do we get there?
Right.
And like, where do you find the things that you need? Which they don't really exist. So you have to kind of build the things that you need for yourself.
Oh, that's so true. Yeah. And I think the thing also that is beneficial about being a first generation college student is that you don't have those answers readily available, so you kind of figure it out earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that you have to build those things that you need.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's also just like I think that I didn't realize how like, to me, like I got to school and I was like, ah, I'm here, but I never really thought as far as like, as far ahead in college as like getting to graduation. I was just like, oh, I'm gonna be in college, like end of like period, end of story, you know? Like
it.
there's nothing else that you really have to do. Like that's the hard part, is getting there, but it's not, it's like getting through it. And yeah, like you said, there's not really like any like book that you can read that will tell you what to do to get through it.
Yeah, I mean, you really are literally writing your own story piece by piece, page by page. So what did it feel like when you finally, when the day came and when you finally had to come to grips with actually stepping out of that small town?
Moving away was like not scary for me because to be quite honest, I pretty much hated Big Bear by the time that I left. I was really bitter because it was so, I was so trapped while I was there.
Yeah.
And I was like really angry at like the place itself for being so restrictive.
Yeah.
So that wasn't hard, but I think the hard part was like going to class, like the first day. That was probably like the real thing because.
Which I want to interject, Corey and I met at our first ever college class ever. Yes.
9 a.m. on Monday.
Yep, with Mildred.
Yeah, Mildred. I think it was August 30th, 2015.
August 30th, 2015.
Or whatever.
Faith
that
in
Monday
pop
was.
Culture.
Yeah. Take it. Yeah, it was, that was, I think, the scariest part. And so, like, you know, they do this whole orientation thing and they're like, oh, you're going to have such a great 4 years. Oh my God, get so excited. And then you like do, and then it's like Monday and you're like, fuck, I overslept my alarm by 30 minutes. It's, you know, 8 o'clock and I'm trying to look pretty on the first day of class. Here
and
we
I
are.
Have to actually be an adult and actually like get my shit
right.
together and
there's
go
no,
to class.
There's no mom to wake me up and make me breakfast today.
Yeah.
And then I'm like running around. I don't leave my dorm room until 8:45 because, you know, why would you leave earlier than that? But then like, where is Wilkinson Hall? We're not sure still to this day. And I'm like running around and I'm asking like three kids. I'm like, where's Wilkinson? They're like, I don't know. I'm like, do you go here? Or are you just here for shits and giggles? I'm confused.
Yeah.
But like once we walked in, I think Mildred was a good introduction to college.
Oh yeah, for sure.
She was. The first day was terrifying. She like split us off and made us do those crazy icebreakers. But
it's like part of starting college is the icebreakers.
Yeah.
It's a requirement.
Miserable.
So when you decided to actually put that idea of going into college into practice, and when you actually left Big Bear, since then, do you look back on that as a brave thing you did?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, I don't, like, think of myself in terms of, like, being a brave person necessarily, but, like, it was really hard and, like, really scary, and I didn't realize until after I left, like, how isolated I was, because literally I didn't know a single person before coming to Chapman. Well, okay, I knew one person. Mm-hmm. They were older. She was older than me, and I was, like, I rarely saw her. So I was, like, literally dropped onto this new planet that, like, wasn't my little bubble.
Yeah.
And
remember that feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think it was definitely brave, like, looking back. But at the time, it's just like, you're like, all right, it's just another day. Here we go.
Right. And that's kind of, like, what you have to, after the first few steps, you know, it changes from something that is so daunting to something that, it's just a part of your life. And I think that most life changes are like that. You know, they go through mm-hmm. that progression.
Yeah. And, like, I never saw myself. Like I said, when I got here, I never, like, saw, like, the bachelor's degree at the end. It was just like, ooh, college. Here we are. Here we be.
Yeah.
But, like, now I'm 3 classes away from graduating. And so, like, it's doable. You can do it. It's not easy, but, yeah, you know, we make it through.
Yeah. So can you think of another time when you were really scared to do something, but you did it anyway? Maybe not as big of a life change as college, but you've certainly made a lot of other brave moves in your life.
Yeah. I think the second thing that was like kind of a big thing that I did was the spring semester of my sophomore year in college, I interned at a philanthropy that I was familiar with called the ALS Association. But it was like kind of a competitive internship in the first place. And on top of it, my parents, who, like I said, are not necessarily familiar with like the internship world, were furious because it was internship at a nonprofit, which is not what I want to do. And it was unpaid. So it was like, first of all, applying to it was like one thing, and then getting the interview, and then having to explain to my parents that like, it's still good to do things even if you don't get paid for it. And then It was like scary for sure, like sitting down for like your first interview at this super professional place that does like all of these really great things for people with a really awful disease. But, you know, like the whole time, all I could think, especially after I got hired, all I could think was like what qualifies me to be here? Because, yeah, you know, like I have no business. I don't have any direct relationship to ALS. Like, but here I am just trying to, you know, learn about this and like try to do something good for the world, because, you know, like, I love that quote where it's like, leave the world a better place than you found it. So
absolutely
trying to move towards that, especially in college when it's so easy to like get lost in other things.
Yeah. So, I mean, what was scarier? Was it scarier to be in that initial interview where you're just sitting there being judged, or was it scarier to move through the day to day there and just try not to feel like an imposter?
Oh, it was definitely scarier to be in like the initial interview, because I think it was my first like professional job interview where I like went in a full suit and like brought a resume and sit there and just like have questions fired at you for 20 minutes. And it's like, where is your life going? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm 19 years old. You tell me.
Right.
You know, and so especially because, you know, I'm a political science major with a double minor in business and French. So like, again, what business do I have running around the ALS Association? I'm not sure. But I mean, I ended up getting it, but it was definitely like, you know, I got a lot of those looks where it was like, oh, political science, how did that bring you here? And I'm like, I don't know. I just want to do something good. Can you just let me do something good?
Yeah, we're literally just going through every single day, all of us just trying to find the next step, right? Yeah. And it was a step that was meaningful to you.
And it was like a huge growing process. I mean, I ended up, I was lucky enough to be there at a time when like the organization itself was on like an explosive growth path. Wow. And so they went from raising like The year before I was there, they raised like $300,000. The year that I got there, it was like 700-ish. And then like by the time that I left, at the end of that like fiscal year, they had raised $1 million.
Wow.
So it was crazy to watch it like expand like that. And also like we put on these huge events, like the kind that you see like on TV or like in movies where it's, you know, like 400 people and like NFL players are like playing in this huge tournament, yeah, at like this, you know, expensive, really fancy course in Dana Point. And it was just these things that, like, I would have never had the opportunity to even interact with that. And then, especially to say that it was for a good cause, that just made everything so much better.
Yeah. So, Corey, thinking about, you know, the brave moves that you made in your life and the ways that you've helped yourself grow and also just contributed to the greater good, can you think of any sort of advice that you would want to give to our listeners on how they can live their lives bravely?
Honestly, I think this is so dumb and cheesy, but I think that the bravest thing you can do is like be yourself. And like every single day you need to just wake up and like think, what can I do to be happy with the person that I am today?
Yeah.
And just take steps towards that, because I think that, you know, you can't like, there's no like formula that you can look for, and there's no like huge,
absolutely,
huge page turner where you're gonna be like, oh, today this is it, I'm brave and I'm happy with myself and this is who I want to be. Like, right, it's just like every day you have to wake up and like take steps towards who you want to be and like what's gonna make you happy and what's gonna make your family proud and like what you want to like look back on your life and say that you are proud of being and doing.
Right. Wow. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, it's a consistent choice.
Yeah.
That you have to make every day.
I think so. And obviously there's days where we don't make those choices. And yeah, like, you go to bed and you're like, oh, fuck. Oops. But, you know.
I wasn't brave today, but.
Yeah. But we all recover, you know. I definitely believe that you're like defined a lot more by how you recover from your mistakes than by the mistakes that you make.
Absolutely.
So I think that, yeah, that's really important.
Thank you so much for being on my podcast.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you for being brave.
Thank you for acknowledging that.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Brave Ones. If you love listening to our podcast, go ahead and subscribe if you haven't already. You'll make sure that you get to see the episode every week when it comes on. And also give us a nice review, because it really, really helps us so that more people who need to hear these brave stories can find them.